All right, insiders, welcome back to the QS Cast. Appreciate everyone joining us this evening, or myself. It's at least myself for right now. Tarkan may join in here soon. But for now, it is going to be a solo show. Chaz is always here with you. So, unlike the Magic Twitch show earlier today, I will not be dragging this out. I'm going to get right to it. They announced Modern Horizons. It's a new set akin to, and they said this multiple times, previous week before MC Cleveland and tonight, that this set is mostly akin to what we've seen in Battle Bond and Conspiracy. So that's kind of the premise of what they went with, you know, the kind of ideology they went with for Modern Horizon. So, you know, when we discuss this in the future, we need to think of this less of a Modern Masters type set and more, you know, leaning towards Battle Bond and Conspiracy, because that's, you know, what they've been telling us every single time, or every single, you know, time they've talked about this product, including today. A few tidbits of information. This will be releasing on June 4th. It contains 249 new to modern cards. I'll get to that definition in a second. With a mix of reprints not yet legal in modern, and new cards that celebrate both modern and Magic's rich history. Modern Horizon boosters on Magic Online will be priced at $6.99. So while they didn't give us an MSRP, we can expect somewhere around those prices. And they gave us two new cards in Cabal Therapist and Sarah the Benevolent. We'll get to those cards here in a second. But going back to new to modern, that definition, I know that was kind of a point of confusion and discussion earlier today. So they're skipping standard with this set, okay? This set is primarily bringing... and its goal, its primary goal, is to bring new cards to modern, directly to modern, not through standard, not through legacy, while it'll be legal in legacy and commander and all that. This is 100% getting new cards into modern, whether it be new cards that they print without having to go through standard, or bringing back cards that are reprints but have not been legal in modern before. Counterspell, Days, you know, just to give an example. Those are not confirmed, but those may be some of the cards that they may be looking at in the future. So it's a lot to unpack. I mean, this has been something that I even talked about with Seth and Richard when I used to do the Goldfish cast. I know that Seth, including myself and many others, have talked about it. So this is not a new idea that, you know, oh, we called this or whatever. This has definitely been on the radar and definitely a possibility since Modern's inception. And, you know, immediately when they fired up the stream, I knew that this is what kind of what they were going with, because if you were watching closely, there was new art in the background and just kind of like how they were trying to drag this out. I get it. They were trying to build up hype. But yeah, this is big. I mean, they are certainly not abandoning modern in any sense. In fact, they're doing the exact opposite. They want modern to be huge. And when we all talked about modern being the focal point of, you know, future events and, you know, this kind of this fever of modern going forward, you know, after MC Cleveland was wrapped up, you know, that was kind of the focus of some of our discussions. I mean, this is it. They are turning things kind of upside down, and they are taking modern to a new level with this, I think. They certainly want modern to be huge. They want modern in the conversation. They want players playing modern. So what does that mean for us? Well, while it'd be easy to say generally that buy pretty much anything modern legal, you know, that's not what I'm going to do. But the spending is certainly going to increase a lot when it comes to players getting into modern, existing players already playing modern, new players getting into modern. They're going to push this format because they're devoting a set to push cards directly to Modern and not through Standard. So they're putting a lot of resources into this. New cards as well. So without, you know, we'll get to the two cards that they kind of revealed later in the podcast. But what does that mean? Okay, so how do we kind of unpack that? Okay, yeah, buy everything in Modern. Well, that doesn't help anymore. So the last three sets. So we've already talked about Ultimate Masters. We talked of Ultimate Masters a little bit last cast, but I mean, that's a great first stop. Some of these cards already are rebounding quite well, but there are a few cards that, you know, still are pretty lucrative and with a pretty high price memory that, you know, some of these cards can easily go back to with so much more focus on this format and trying to drive more traffic to this format. And some of the cards, I mean, you even look at Ultimate Masters. Okay, you know, maybe not Liliana of the Veil, maybe not Cavern of Souls. Some of the ships on these cards have sailed. But I'm looking down further. I mean, you're looking at cards like Celestial Colonnade sitting around like $15. That's a really good place to start, I believe. You know, creature lands, mana bases are an awesome place to start for this because some of those cards decrease substantially and kind of just are hanging out at this price point. You know, Celestial Colonnade has gone up a little bit, but I do believe it's at its floor right now. I mean, it's been slowly creeping down. It's like, you know, $15-$17 right now. You might even be able to get some deals on them, $12-$13. I mean, that just sounds great to me, especially with such a high price memory. And, you know, that's just going to be the first place everybody goes to is lands. Celestial Colonnade, we have another one in Goryeo's Vengeance, which is under $10. I feel like that's a pretty interesting card to consider. Fulminator Mage is sitting at $5. I don't think you're doing yourself a disservice to you know, write that down and monitor that. Certainly could stash away a set for yourself or a set for your inventory. That is a card that is still in the top cards played in Modern. You know, Goldfish is a very good resource. They provide, you know, the top 50 cards played in any one given format, whether it be creature, overall, land. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad someone brought that up. Great look, Verscott. I'm loving Aether Vial. Loving Aether Vial. I think that was in, was that in Ultimate Master? I think it was in Iconic. Iconic, yeah. Love it. New cards equals new creatures equals more hype for Aether Vial. I love that card. I was just kind of sticking with Ultimate Masters right for this moment. Just get back to where I was. I lost place here. Okay, Iconic. Okay, just going down the list again. This is strictly Ultimate Masters. So these are the first three sets. Ultimate Masters, Masters 25, and Iconic Masters are pretty much the three sets I would start with. I mean, there's not a plethora of information in terms of what new cards will be affecting older cards. So, you know, I'm less likely to, you know, keep expanding on that because we just don't know. We don't know a lot of the new cards, or we only know two at this point. And I don't really want to go too deep down the rabbit hole of, oh, well, you know, this card could make this card increase. I'm just looking at strictly Modern staples that were reprinted recently because this set will not be reprinting those cards. So that is where my focus is going to be at. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking at cards, you know, you can even consider Ruined Halo, Creeping Tar Pit, Bridge from Below, all of this stuff that is just kind of hanging out in this $5 category, I think is a great place to look at. And I'm really liking Celestial Colony. Just double check that real. Yep, still certainly one of the top played lands in Modern. I think, you know, sub 20, you know, if you can snag them at like $12, I think that's a really good price to get into. So yeah, just to recap, you know, Celestial Colonnade, I'm looking at Goryeo's Vengeance is an interesting one. You know, pair that with Through the Breach, you know, what have you. Fulminator Mage, Creeping Tar Pit. I think that's a really good, you know, few cards to really start with. Moving on to Masters 25, And I go specifically into Masters 25 and iconic Masters because, you know, they're for the most part forgotten. I mean, everyone really didn't. The general reception of these sets was not very great. And that leads to what I feel like is a gold mine. I mean, some of these cards have rebounded quite a bit. I mean, you look at Azusa, Lost But Seeking. That card rebounded quite a bit. And Snaring Bridge is still sitting at like $40. So that's not really where I want to start. Chalice could be interesting, but keep in mind it's a high buy-in. But you know, I'm looking further. Twilight Mire, Cascade Bluffs, Fetid Heath, Flooded Grove. I mean, they're all like $6 to $8. I think that's a great place to start. Looking further, you start to see, you know, maybe they might not rebound as much, and they're a little bit cheaper. They may not, you know, kind of spike like 3-4 times the amount. But you're looking at some interesting uncommons, some interesting commons that are played in the format. I mean, you're looking at Ancient Stirrings. You're looking at I had a good one. It's an iconic, pretty cheap at this. It's like a few bucks. Yeah, Blood Moon, like $15. I don't know. You know, Masters 25. It, you know, there's not a ton. But you know, there's a few cards to look at there. Moving on to iconic. All right, so this one's a little bit more lucrative, I think. I think Blood Gas is a great card to consider, especially if you can get deals on them. This card easily shrugged off a reprint, but it's kind of sitting at around like $12. It's still like one of the most played creatures in Modern. And I know actually this card came up in some of the discussions. I think it was general or actionable. I know a few insiders were talking about Blood Ghast already. So I'm really liking that card from Iconic Masters. So again, that's Blood Ghast. Serum Powder also increased. You know, we were talking about the Mulligan rule, but, you know, it just kind of seemed like a self-fulfilling prophecy on that one. But, you know, with renewed interest and with a huge, like, Mulligan rule change, I mean, it may not be the greatest card, and it may not even be working out. It may not even work out, but it certainly got a lot of hype. There's a few cards from Iconic that are definitely worth mentioning, too. We look at Oblivion Stone. Damn, where was it? Ancestral Vision. You got Grove of the Burn Willows and Flusterstorm. Now I'm keynoting Flusterstorm here because this could easily be a card that they, you know, they didn't really give us a parameter or limitation as to what they will bring from. It's not like specifically Legacy. It could be any of the Commander cards. So Flusterstorm is definitely, I'm not going to go deep on Flusterstorm, but I definitely want to, you know, highlight Flusterstorm as a card. Now, this is totally baseless speculation. So again, I'm throwing that all over this, but it could be a card that they reprint. You know, it's going to be reprinted, but it is still new to Modern. Okay. But yeah, I think the biggest gainer here, or I think the biggest winner here will probably be Blood Gas and Aether Vial. Although Aether Vial still kind of hanging out at like $30 across the board. I don't know how much it could possibly increase, but you know, if it starts pushing $50-$55, I mean, that's a huge win, right? And that's really all it'll take. I mean, if it's hitting like even $50, $45-$50, I mean, that's a lot over the course of a few play sets. But just keep in mind that the buy-in is pretty high. You know, there's not going to be like a couple $2 cards. There's not going to be a lot of $2 cards here, folks. I mean, you know, maybe some obscure uncommon that hasn't been reprinted at all. Because again, they're not reprinting cards here. They're just introducing new cards. But, you know, short of that, what's already in Modern is set. Outside of that is just pure speculation. And I know like we're here to speculate, but it's not even going to be worth what, I mean, we open up the entire card pool. I'm sure there are some, you know, we can take some pretty educated guesses on, you know, something like Flusterstorm, something like Daze, something like Brainstorm even, something like that, along those lines. You know, maybe, but it's not a definite, all right? I know the chat is kind of talking about pricing right now. So they only gave us one price, and again, there's no more MSRP, so don't expect it. But the Magic Online prices will be at $6.99. But I don't know. I mean, $6 for a pack of this. They're in 36-pack boosters, so it's not like a Modern Masters. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see like $4 or $5 packs. I mean, this is, again, this is not a Modern Masters, right? This is not a limited product. You know, they're 36-pack boosters. It's very akin to Battle Bond and Conspiracy. And there was a lot of availability on that. They want these cards to be available. They're being printed for the first time. They don't want this to be limited. They don't want to mess this up and have like pretty much every new card in the set be, you know, $30 because people just can't get a hold of it. Yeah. And that's a great point. Time being, no mention of a premium foil pack and or card in every pack. That's something that increased the price of master sets. We're just not seeing that here. Okay. They said it multiple times that this is like Battle Bond and Conspiracy. So I would, you know, have those expectations. You know, I don't know what the pricing is going to ultimately end up at, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't expect like too much higher than what people were charging for Battle Bond and Conspiracy. I mean, there's just going to be a lot of this product. All right. So going into the actual cards that were spoiled. So we got Cabal Therapist. It's a 1-mana 1/1 Black Horror Menace. And at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, Cabal Therapy. You may sacrifice creature. When you do, choose a non-land card name. When target player reveals his or her hand, or their hand, they discard all the cards with that name. So they're hearkening back to Cabal Therapy. And that's, I feel like that's kind of the direction they're going here with some of these new cards. While they may not reprint some Cabal Therapy 1-for-1, well, we have Cabal Therapist to kind of harken back to that card. Sarah the Benevolent, Planeswalker, 2/2 white, 4 loyalty, Planeswalker Sarah. So, you know, this is kind of the direction they're going here, introducing characters from the story. This is a great place to introduce those characters. +2, creatures you control with flying get +1/+1 till end of turn. -3, create a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying and vigilance. And -6, you get an emblem. With if you control a creature, damage that would reduce your life total to less than 1 reduces it to 1 instead. So worship. So interesting cards. I think, you know, we discussed this in particular to Cabal Therapist. You know, could be an interesting pairing with Bitter Blossom. Almost it almost seems like a shoo-in and why they reprinted it. I wouldn't go out. Run out and buy like, you know, a ton of Bitter Blossoms. I don't think it's going to spike from this because there's just not a ton of information. We did get a lot, but we also didn't get a lot of the more important points of this set. We kind of know what it's about. We kind of got our grounds covered, but in terms of cards and how they'll affect existing, the existing card pool, we're just not there yet. But that doesn't mean, you know, in the meantime, we can't just stockpile modern staples. Until then. But, I mean, there's also the issue, you know, we don't want to go too deep here because the modern staples of today may not be the modern staples come June when this set releases and you're releasing 249 new cards to the card pool. Will it change drastically? I'm not guessing. You know, I don't believe it will. I don't think it changes that much of what's viable right now. But you do want to keep that in mind that, you know, you don't want to just go on a spending spree on cards just because, okay, you know, whatever. You know, we definitely have to keep this set in mind. That being said, I still feel like some of the cards that I already mentioned are a good purchase. I mean, if anything, you know, cards like Creeping Tar Pit, Celestial Colonnade, all those, I mean, that those are just mana bases. I mean, you can't get around that. The Filter Lands, you're even looking at Grove of the Burn Willows. I think Horizon Canopy's a bit much. So that's really Modern Horizons in a nutshell. Now, not specifically finance related, I do feel like this is this design methodology will continue on in the future. Modern Horizons, whether it be Modern Horizons 1, 2, 3, or however they name them, whatever naming convention they go to, this is going to be a mainstay, folks. I mean, this is not a one-shot deal. They're definitely going to either alternate, kind of put this in the rotation of, you know, Battle Bond type set, conspiracy type set, Modern Horizons type set. I don't feel like we will get this every single year, but it's a set that is not going to, that we'll never not see again, right? They're definitely going to keep coming back to this idea and continue to, you know, force feed modern new cards. But, you know, overall, I think this is a really great point in Magic. This was a huge announcement on all fronts because it's going to spur a lot of spending in this format, new cards for all formats. You know, this obviously all the kind of, you know, this is great. Commander comes into play, new Commander stuff, foils, just everything. You know, we have a lot on the horizon of, you know, Standard is in a great spot. We have a new set coming out, you know, whenever. We have this set. We have Commander sets. We have, you know, probably another round of reserve list buying when folks start getting their tax returns and everything like that. We've already seen some of that happening already. I think just the spending in Magic is we're going into a good place. And that's going to lead to a ton of opportunities. You know, the reprints, you know, even reprint sets do not keep card prices down for long. There's just a lot of demand for these cards, folks, from all corners, you know, Commander, Modern, Legacy, maybe not Legacy as much these days, but, you know, people still play it. They may shift the focus away from it, but, you know, all kinds of attention is good. So I think this is a good point to start taking some questions on this. I think, you know, I started on a very good short list of cards to consider, and those just seem kind of evergreen to me. Again, you know, Celestial Colony, Creeping Tar Pit, you got Filter Lands, Aether Vial was a great card from the chat. You got Fulminator Mage. We looked at Bloodghast. So, yeah, I'm going to be opening it up to standards, or questions, rather. This is mostly just about pricing. Which other 36 pad set on MSRP 690? Yeah, look, I don't think I'm not with the 690. I don't think it's going to be $7 a pack. I just don't. Stores will probably end up charging that, but you know, they said it multiple times. I mean, this is a battle bond conspiracy. Those cards, those packs were not $7. Are all those cards you think are at the current or historic lows that you believe are good buys in general, or just because of the Horizon announcement? So it's a little, that's a great question, G-Tutor. So it's a little bit of both, right? Modern Horizons, I feel like, is a great hype point. You know, Tarkin and I like to, you know, throw that, you know, we kind of coined that phrase, you know, the hype points during the year. It's a great hype point in getting more players into Modern, reshifting the focus into Modern, kind of almost kind of like rebranding Modern and putting it back into the spotlight. You know, also coupled with, you know, those cards were just reprinted. They are kind of at their historic lows, especially a card like Celestial Colonnade. I don't think it'll get much lower than that. So it was definitely a mixture of both. Battle Bond and Conspiracy were not on MTGO. A totally new pricing space. Yeah, we're absolutely, I mean, that's a great point, Dylan, Efren. Yeah, this whole set is in a whole new design space. I mean, it has been kicked around for a long time, and they just went ahead and, you know, went for it. But I feel, you know, there's not a lot to take away from the announcement, but I do feel like our approach to investing in Modern, our approach to buying cards, will definitely change, at least a little bit, into kind of how we keep up with modern pricing and kind of modern demand, right? You know, that being said, it's entirely possible. I mean, I feel like it's very likely. You know, we're going to be going back to this set after it's released many times. You look at Battle Bond, you look at Conspiracy, how many times, you know, even after the fact, those cards, you know, and again, you know, not talking about pricing in particular, but in talking about how much of the set was available, even in looking at Battle Bond and Conspiracy, that did have a fairly large print run and accessibility. You know, after the fact, we've gone back and we've seen cards increase numerous times in those sets. I definitely believe that we will see that same trend with Modern Horizons, you know, a few months out, 6 months out, up to even a year out or more, depending on the frequency of these sets. You know, if two cards are viable in this set, you know, I'll rephrase this. Every new card that is viable in this, that ends up being viable in Modern Horizons, we'll definitely see an increase even after the fact. So while there will be accessibility, there's probably going to be a large print run. But again, this is the only set. All of these cards, or most, or at least half, or a good percentage, where they're being printed for the first time, this will be the only set that you can find them, right? So if they reprint like Counterspell or whatever, or Days or whatever, I mean, those cards have been reprinted before. But every new card in Modern Horizons that ends up being viable, even after the fact, I think we'll see considerable gains in those cards. Foil multiplier from this set will be huge if they are not one per pack. If they are Battle Bond Conspiracy printing at a higher pack or per pack price point. Yeah, I don't believe there will be the whole one foil per pack. I mean, again, they really wanted to make it clear that this was like Battle Bond Conspiracy type set, and not like a Masters type set. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, definitely foils are going to be insane. Yeah, it's not a Masters set. It's just priced like one, at least for now. Yeah, I mean, $6.99, definitely a lot, a drastic reduction from the other price points of Masters sets, but a fair bit more than normal pricing. Okay, I have time for a few more questions. Also, now that I'm back and, you know, appreciate being back, I still, you know, kind of got through MC Cleveland. Hope everyone enjoyed the coverage there. Huge shout out to Barnatog and Efren for helping, you know, being part of the coverage team. Really appreciate it. So just starting to catch my bearings here. But I also posted a new schedule for the podcast. It's very similar to what we had before, although, you know, I'm going to really stick to this schedule and cast, you know, by myself if need be, just so you all make, you know, we all make sure you all get the content. That's the most important thing to me. So if you have not checked that out yet, very quickly, regular QS cast will be Thursday night, 7 p.m. EST. So there will be four, you know, each week, that will be weekly. But also in addition to that, you know, and like before, I had, you know, Flashcast and Discord only cast. So we're just kind of wrapping that all into two bi-monthly Discord exclusive podcasts. Okay. So I'm going to, you know, those, I don't have a tentative date for that. That will just kind of be when I, you know, fit it in, or if there needs to be kind of, you know, a huge announcement, you know, an emergency cast or something like that. I can burn one of the two bi-monthly casts on that. But those will be Discord exclusive podcasts. Those will not be posted to the website or anywhere else, just for Discord. And I will highlight that when I pin them to the QS Cast channel. So we're coming up at about 40 minutes. I think I've been casting for around that, you know, give or take a few minutes. Last minute questions. If anyone wants to make a call-in question, I will open that up as well. Don't want too much dead space here, but yeah, I mean, Modern Horizons is great. I will certainly write out the kind of short list that I had here, but we're going to have a lot of discussions about this to come. But, you know, we don't know a whole lot, so we do have to temper some expectations and not go completely into baseless speculation. But I do think there's still some evergreen modern cards, especially that have been reprinted recently at their lows, that I highlighted this cast that I feel is a good place to start. So, you know, if there's any other suggestions, always bring them up in the discussions channel, whether it be general or actionable, you know, and we can talk it out. All right. Okay. Anything else that I wanted to wrap up here? No, but, you know, I guess for cast sake, I will actually, you know, I kind of had those as like my quote unquote non-official picks, but let me kind of really quickly, I had a couple cards in mind. I think, you know, for everyone else, actually, there was a really good discussion, amongst the insiders. I know folks are really looking back to the Commander products because, you know, another round of Commander products is coming up again. I also want to really start looking back at Battle Bond. I think Battle Bond is still a really good, there's still a lot of lucrative cards to purchase and consider when we were looking at, what could be some of the prospects that we're looking at. I just want to pull up Battle Bond really quickly. So just give me one moment. This would be a great time to type out a question, but I really want to look at Battle Bond really quickly. So we saw recently that, we're seeing some of the partner commanders, especially the foils, Peer, Imaginative Rascal, Toothy, Ragna, and Krav. I think there's still some room to some of those cards, especially, and this was actually co-signed by Efren actually a while ago now, in terms of a insider cast pick, Will and Rowan Kenrith. Now, not even the foil versions, but like the non-foil versions, $3, under $3. I think that's a really good place to start looking at some lucrative purchasing here. Hell, I think even Najeela, the Blade Blossom, normal copies are even pretty good. I mean, there's a huge, huge disparity between the foils. And this card's under $10. So, that being said, I don't think I picked them for 2019. But I think the cards I want to pick for this week, this will be the QS cast cards that I'm looking at for this week are Will and Rowan Kenrith and normal copies of Najeela the Blade Blossom. Let me see if I want to go with foil Kenrith. So we have sub $3 normal copies of Rowan and Will Kenrith, but $30 foils. And then we have pack, so the pack foils are $30. But the promotional release foils with different art are like $5. Battle Bond feeling on the foil lands at 30-40. No, I'm not super into those on those foils. I'm not super into that or into the foil pricings on that. Yeah, I'm going to go with normal and promotional copies of Rowan and Will Kenrith and normal copies of Najeela the Blade Blossom. All the Kenrith twin foils are alternate art. No, they're not. Unless this is wrong. They're all alternate art. Yes, they are. You're right. Okay. So Card Kingdom made a boob. Hold on. Are the foils actually the pack foils? Oh, they are alternate art. Yep. You're right, Efren. Okay. Just wanted to confirm that. Pack Rack Fever is clickbait. That's great. All the foil versions of Will and Kenrith, Will and Rowan, are all alternate art. But yeah, I think I'm feeling pretty confident on that. The non-foil versions are pretty cheap. I mean, sub $3, $5 Najeela the Blade Blossom. It's like the most played card by like five times, almost like three times the amount of any other card, except for maybe the lands. Oh, is it? Oh no. Okay, some of these other cards are Pierce Whim. Preach player, nah. I'm good with that. I'm good. Will and Kenrith, Will and Rowan Kenrith, normal copies. Najeela the Blade Blossom, normal copy. Damn, Efren's already going really deep on that. Yeah, I like Najeela more than the Kenrith twins as well. So in terms of confidence, I'm definitely much higher on Najeela the Blade Blossom. Will and Kenrith just were, or Will and Rowan, just for how inexpensive they are, I just wanted to kind of keep those in mind. Will is like $5. Rowan's like, okay, that's still fine. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up. I will cut out some of the dead air. It should condense anyway, but I will see you all next week, same time. And I will try to let people know, when I will be firing up the bi-monthly podcast. That's going to be starting next month. Like I said, I was kind of back in the middle of this. Of this month, and I just hit the ground running with the MC Cleveland coverage, but hopefully everyone enjoyed that. Glad to be back, and I will see you all next week, barring a podcast I have to fire out randomly. Yeah, I will highlight them when I post the podcast, but I'm going to end it now, and I will post this to the Discord. Thanks everyone for joining in for this week. This is going to be the QS Cast signing out. See you all next time.